October 31st, Vajrahasya class, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is discussing Ashtamayam Nam Bhajan Sadhana. And there's a series of verses in this last section where he's describing how to develop prema, what are the most important instructions to develop Krishna prema. The foundation, of course, is continuous chanting of the Maha Mantra. So basically we continuously chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then we read about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. We serve Guru. And then we adopt this, we add some things to our chanting of the Maha Mantra. We add knowledge, we add surrender, we add our feelings, we add our hankering and our yearning for perfection, and we add our desire to attain bhava and love for God. They're mixed in the Maha Mantra. This is for everyone. And someone who's very interested in Madhurya, Mahi Bhakti, in the mood of the Braja Gopis, then he will follow this progressive path of bhajan given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Although he's not, because although anyone could follow it, even if someone was interested in Sakya Bhava or Madhurya Bhava or Dasya Bhava in Braj, they can follow this teachings of Bhajan Rahasyam. But he specifically aims it towards those devotees that want to become Palyadasi maidservants, Manjari Gopis, surrendered maidservants of Srimati Radharani, Kinkaris. But many of the instructions and the verses apply to everyone who is serious about Braj Bhajan and Braj Bhakti. So along with this chanting I mentioned and the elements that I mentioned, the mixing and Hari Nam, then he, at each step of the way of this progressive step to bhajan, we should meditate on and understand and practice and realize the individual verses that he gives in each section of Bhajan Rahasyam. So this is Ashtayam Sadhana. So here he's describing that one of the elements of most necessary element or quality to develop Krishna prema is humility. He goes so far to say that the very basis of prema, of Krishna prema, is humility. No humility, no Krishna prema. Where there is Krishna prema, we find the greatest expression of genuine, heart-based humility. Not humility generated from the mind and expressed through the words or body, but actual humility generated from a true realization of our very insignificant and minute position in this universe, and a great appreciation and understanding of the Lord's presence everywhere in everyone's heart. So a devotee at the level of prema, Krishna premi, a Krishna premi, he's full of humility. He is the personification of humility. His humility is so great that we can't even estimate it. Very difficult to understand how someone can be so humble. Sanatana Goswami's mood of humility is reflected in this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And one of the qualities of a dependent and humble devotee is that he has, because he's humble by his knowledge, experience and realization, and because he's also dependent on the Lord, he becomes very much in a mood of hope, firm hope. My Lord will save me. My Lord will help me. My Lord will carry what I lack and preserve what I have. Oh, I get up early under the order of Guru. And I try to study and chant on the, under the order of Guru, because I have no steadiness. I have no strength of character, and I have no purity of heart, nor do I have attachment or ruchi to propel myself in these devotional activities, nor to sustain myself. But I do have the faith that is good for me, and I want to surrender to the order of my spiritual master and engage in this way, although I find it very difficult. I'm always fighting with the modes of nature, and I'm often very tired and lack it. Even if I'm not tired, it doesn't seem very attractive or tasty to me. But I continue dutifully and respectfully and faithfully to trudge along the path. Adena Krishna Yoga 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 Shimam Vahamiham. Eventually Krishna delivers the goods. Krishna comes through. Krishna reciprocates. Yeyata mam prapadyante. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. No surrender, no reward. So this is devotional expression, sadhana bhakti. The practice of sadhana is all about acting in such a way to get rewarded by the Lord, to get blessed by the Lord. And we have that ashabandha. We have that firm hope that, yes, Krishna will bless me. And what is the basis of our hope? Our hope is based on the experience of other sadhakas who were one-time practitioners of bhakti bhajan. And they became siddha. They became perfect. They rose to the stage of nishtha, ruchi, bhava, and prema by following the very same process I am following, by surrendering to guru and parampara, by serving him with love and devotion, and by Shastra Svadhyaya, by study, by austerity, and primarily by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They were Nam Bhajan Sadhakas, and now we see that they are Nam Bhajan Siddhas. They were Shradavan Jivas. They were living entities like us who invested their faith in God. They invested their belief and faith in God and His representatives, and they went forward, and eventually they went from Shraddha to Prema, from faith in God to full-blown, unadulterated, pure love of God. And they started to swim in an ocean of ecstatic love and their rapturous feelings of divine beatitude in association with the Lord. And then they told us, listen, keep going. Be patient. Utsaha nishchaya dharyat. Be patient, be enthusiastic. Be humble, you'll make it. I did it, I made it. This is their teaching, by their words that speak their example. The words of the acharyas speak their example, their realized talk. Bhakti vigyan tattva. So we get encouragement and we get hope. So we get hope from the lives and teachings of the acharyas, firm hope. And where else do we derive hope from? We derive hope from the words of Krishna. Krishna, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. He speaks in the Shastra. The Shastra is God speaking to us. God is individual. We are individual, and there's an individual. God expresses himself individually with each individual part and parcel. Just like you express yourself individually to each part and parcel of your body, and I express myself individually to each part and parcel of my body. So God expresses himself to each part and parcel of his body. Mere, Mere Bhagavan, or Mere Bhagavan. My Giridhari Lal. Amirabai used to pray, my Giridhari Lal. We have, she has her Giridhari Lal, and I have my Giridhari Lal. Mora Prananath, my Prananath. Well, I have my Prananath. And more, my Sashi Sutta. Well, my Nitai Gaurasundara, my Gaurinitai. So this mamata, this possessive, I have my children speak to me. So we speak to God through our service, and we speak to God through our prayers, and we speak to God through our chanting, service and prayers and chanting, and we speak to God by our thoughts, and God returns by speaking to us, by His actions, by His thoughts, by His words. And therefore, the second way we get hope is from the words of God. And we read Bhagavad Gita, and it's a book of hope. It's a book of faith. Prabhupada said, if you read Bhagavad Gita 5 times, then you'll become very faithful. And Jayavajaka Swami was telling us once in a class in Vrindavan, he said, before Prabhupada would give first initiation, he would ask the candidates for initiation to read the Bhagavad Gita 10 times. 10 times the Bhagavad Gita, and not all the verses, all the purports. And then read the Srimad Bhagavatam, his edition, with all the purports. 3 times, I believe. That's a very strong and powerful foundation. In the words of those Shastras, one will see where Krishna says, Ananyas chintiyanto mam yejana paryapashate tesham nityabhyutanam yogakshemam vahamyam. If you engage in ananya bhakti, undivided and pure devotional service to me, all your thoughts and activities dedicated to me under the shelter and guidance and submission to Sri Guru, then from my side, I will preserve what you have and I'll give you whatever you lack. So if you lack enthusiasm or you lack attention because you fall asleep in class, and when you read you fall asleep, then you pray to Krishna. Krishna, I'm so dull, I'm so sleepy-headed. You know, so my mind tells me, oh, you were up so late last night. My mind tells me, oh, you didn't get enough sleep. And my mind tells me, I'm very, very tired. And then the Atma says, yes, mind, you're correct. You're very correct. You're very, very tired. And you didn't sleep enough. And you need more sleep. You don't need, but now what does the soul say? You're not the body. The soul says, you're not the body, Jeev Jalango. He says, you don't need water. And the soul says, you don't need water. You don't need food. You don't need sleep. What you need is prema, bhakti, seva. So the mind is telling you more sleep. But the soul is telling you more bhakti. Stand up. Throw water on your face. Put your head in a bucket of ice. Wake up, you stupid jackass. Your tiny soul has to drag around his ass like tamasic body. You only get excited when you go in the office to make money. Ah, money, ah, buy this, sell this, yes, take my product, and give me money, on time, yes, yes. Then it comes to bhakti bhajan. No ruchi for Krishna, ruchi for Lakshmi. So transfer the ruchi for Lakshmi to ruchi for Radha. Radharani. So this, one who has bhav, he has a strong amount of ashabandha, very deep, deep-rooted hope and faith in God. Because he's had so many experiences, time and time and time again. Because if we're awake, then we can see what's happening. And if we're alert, then we can feel the presence of God. So as we come to the level of nishtha, at the level of nishtha, we can very easily perceive the presence of God. And that encourages our activities and gives us great enthusiasm. And then our hope increases. Oh, he's really there, and he's really helping me. And he's really opening so many doors and creating and removing so many obstacles and giving so many blessings and so much nourishment. It's amazing. This is an incredible friend I've made an alliance with. And he's special because he's all-pervading and he's easy to find. So to support this point of humility as the basis of prema, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajanarhasyam, he cites, this is text 4, he cites a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First division, chapter 3, verse 35. na prema shravanadi bhaktirapi va yogottava vaishnavo Jnanam va shubha karma va kiyadaho sajjatir abhyasti va hinartadika sadike toitatap yachetya mula sati He gopi jana vallabha vyatayate ahad mad asha hashaiva mam mad asha hope my hope ma asha Shubha Goswami Pad he's saying here my heart is devoid of prema for you my lord I am not qualified to perform sadhana bhakti by hearing and chanting. I possess no knowledge, pious activities, or qualifications of a Vaishnava, nor have I taken birth in a high-class family, Brahmin, Kshatriya. I am therefore unqualified in every respect to take up this exalted path of bhakti. Oh, Gopi Janavallabha, hey beloved Lord of the Gopis, your mercy also falls upon the lowest of the low. This firm hope of attaining you is making me very anxious. The devotee in this verse is praying that I've seen in the history that the Lord is very favorable to even the lowest of people. And there's so many examples. The Lord even favors monkeys and animals and the most unqualified. And oftentimes there's bhajans in Hindi and songs. What knowledge did Hanuman have? And what beauty and qualities did Shabari have? There was some lady, some Shabara, some tribal woman in a jungle. She saw Ram and she had to pick some fruits. So she says, Ram, sit down, I want to feed you. This is Ramachandra when he was wandering. So this Shabari is a class, like Adivasi, a Shabari woman or girl, whatever. And so Ram, please sit down, I want to feed you. So very simple-minded, not beautiful, the Adivasi, no beauty, no knowledge. What beauty did she have? What knowledge did Hanuman have? So then she peeled the fruits. And then she wanted to make sure, was this one ripe? And she would eat one. Oh, that's not very sweet. And she put it down. And she ate another fruit. Ram, this is very nice. You try this one. It was very intimate, much more intimate than Vidura's wife and Krishna went to and Hastinapur and she gave the banana. But she's because she's Vidura's wife and she's like a Brahmani or whatever, Vidura, I don't know, whatever. She was some kind of Vedic woman and she understood the codes of etiquette. This is a very simple Aborigine woman, Shabari lady, and she said, oh, I have to make sure it's sweet. I can't, if it's not sweet, how will I know if it's sweet unless I eat it? And she ate it. And Ram, because her bhakti was so pure, she was so innocent and so sorrow, that he said, yeah, very nice. And he was eating. And totally ashud. This is the remnants of an Adivasi, Shabari Prasad, from her mouth, Uchishta. Very, you know, and he's a king, he's a kshatriya. This is a total break of all morality, all rules of conduct, and practically sinful for a Vedic kshatriya. God is eating the remnants of a jungle woman? Unbelievable. So this song goes on. And what maturity did Prahlad have to please the Lord? And it goes on like this, all these different great bhaktas throughout history that were, you know, whatever. So we zip it up into modern times and we say, what purity did Jaghai and Madai have to get them to deserve the mercy of God? What fixation and sadhana bhajan did Jaghai and Madai have to get the mercy of God? you know, like this. What purity of heart and desire. How much purity Jagai Madai had to get prema from, to get awarded prema from Lord Chaitanya, Krishna prema for deity. The answer is nothing. They had no qualification. They were rapists and robbers and drug pushers and drunkards and every terrible thing you could be. But Nitai and Gaur, they didn't care. Oh, so what? Here, give me your sins, Madhai. Don't be afraid. Give me your sins. Take this Krishna prema. Oh, my Lord, no. I'm so fallen. I can't do that. Oh, you'll be so contaminated. You'll take my karma. You'll fall. You'll go to hell. Don't worry. Just chant, give me our sins. And this way, this by hearing these examples from history, we can understand that, yes, the Lord preserves what I, carries what I lack and preserves what I have. Gita is the gyan, bhakti gyan. And these stories from Puran, these are the vigyan, bhakti vigyan. Shastra Vichar and Leela Vichar. So these wonderful pastimes in the Shastras of all these great personalities, these Bhagavatas and these Kripadaris, these great souls who attain the mercy of the Lord, they fill us with hope that yes, okay, you say I give whatever you have and I preserve what you have and I give you whatever you need, whatever you lack, I give it to you. Okay, those are a lot of hot words you're giving in Bhagavad Gita. But where's the hard proof? Where's the facts? Have you ever done it? Is there any example of it? Oh yeah, here on Treta Yuga I helped this one, and Satya Yuga helped that one, Kali Yuga helped this one. So what more proof do you want? Here's my proof. Now you make the judgment. Oh, you really do keep your word. You really do carry what people lack. You really preserve what they have. You have countless examples, hundreds and hundreds of examples. And certainly if I compare myself to these other individuals, like Jagai, Madai, etc., and in many regards, I have much more qualification. I'm not that fallen. I'm not that young. I'm not that stupid. I'm not that contaminated. I'm not that uneducated. I'm not that, you know, foolish. But all these contaminated, foolish, aborigines, children, animals, etc., they got the mercy of the Lord, and they attain prema, then I become hopeful. So this is another cause of attaining ashabandha. Hope in the Lord's mercy by hearing the historical examples of the great devotees like Shabari, the Shabari woman who was jungle woman, is eating the fruit. She says, sit down, Ram, I'll feed you some fruits. A story we told from Puran. She didn't know. She only knew that when she would go eat fruits from the tree, she'd go, oh, and she'd think, this one's ripe, and she'd pick it. Oh, it's not ripe. Ram, Ram, sit down. I'll get some nice fruits for you. You must be hungry wandering in the forest. The Shabari woman, very famous, many of these examples. So then, where is it? This one. Get it here. So then, and do throw on. The wind's coming from the other side. So then Ram was so attracted by her devotion that he sat down and he was watching her. She's very, very intent. She picked all these fruits in a basket and then she... Oh. Yes, Ram, you'll really like this one. It's very sweet. You try. And he just, yeah, oh, thank you. He's eating this uchishta from her mouth of Shabari. Because humility is the basis of prema, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing a verse in Rupa Goswami about ashabandha, that we have, in our humble approach to the Lord, we have hope against hope. What am I? I can be a yogi, I'm lazy, I'm fat, I'm old, I'm infirm, I'm stiff. Can't sit straight for 5 seconds without wiggling and squiggling and feeling back pain. And I can't meditate for more than 2 seconds before my mind jumps like a monkey from one branch of the tree of material desire to another. I can't control my senses. I eat everything. Every time I see it, I eat it. And so what's the chance for me to realize God? What's the chance for me to attain Krishna prema? This is where ashabandha comes in. We humbly say, well, my Lord, other people made it. And that were worse than me and some were better, but I think I have hope. Yeah, there's a chance for me. He gave prema to the tigers in Jarikand and to the monkeys and elephants and snakes, etc. So at least I must be as good as a snake. I must have at least the qualities as good as a snake or a monkey or a tiger. So I have hope. So this is a very nice verse. There's another translation to this verse from the hey Gopi Janavallava. Oh my Lord, I have no love for you, nor am I attached to devotional service and practice such as chanting and hearing. I do not practice the disciplines of Vaishnav Yoga. I have no knowledge or pious activities. I cannot even claim to be well born. Despite my lack of qualification, oh beloved Lord of the Gopis, hey Gopi Janavallava, my sacred hope in you is so deep that it will not be uprooted because you fulfill the desires of the least qualified. Alas, alas, this hope of mine is causing me pain for some reason. In other words, it's painful that I know that you deliver the mercy to even the most unqualified, and I'm certainly qualified as being the most unqualified. You give the mercy. I know that you give the mercy to the unqualified, and I'm certainly qualified to be the most unqualified. And I'm waiting, and while I'm waiting for your mercy, and I have great anticipation, I'm filled with immense hope. That waiting period is causing me pain. It's painful to wait for you, wait for the mercy. But I have no recourse. I cannot do anything but wait. Because if I give you up, and if I give up this process of bhakti yoga, I am nowhere. I am nowhere and I have nothing. What can I fall back on? My mother? My mother-in-law? My father? My high school? My high school friends? My college friends? My sports days? What's to fall back on? Some useless memories that have no power, influence, or ability to help me? Useless friends and useless memories. I can do nothing but go forward. So then, okay, Hare Krishna, I keep going. And the Lord's, you know, he's Baba Grahi Janardhan. He's watching the attitude. Now this concept of Ashavanda, of course, is one of the aspects, it's one of the qualities of Baba Bhakti itself. Of course, this is about prema, this Sambhog Prema chapter of Vajrahasyam. But one of the nine qualities or symptoms of a Bhava Bhakta is Ashavanda. Very firm and strong and deep hope that the Lord will save me, the Lord will help me and give me fulfillment of my heart's desire. Now, as we have Ashavanda for Krishna, the genuine Sadshishya also has Ashavanda for Sri Guru. Because Sri Guru and Sri Krishna are Eki Tattva. They're one absolute representation of truth. So I have, in other words, I don't know, I'm initiated by Prabhupada, but I don't know, Prabhupada didn't give me this, that, and, you know, where I have to get somewhere here and there. So that means you're in a hopeless situation. You don't have hope. You don't have that humility and that firm belief that as Guru, as Krishna preserves what I lack and preserves what I have and provides what I lack, Guru is the same way. Guru enhances our good qualities and removes our bad qualities. And Guru showers upon us all the requisites that we need to go forward in devotion. When we take up the path of bhakti under the shelter of the benign gurus, we are not steady, we are not pure-minded, we are not attached, we are not sincere. By His mercy, Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam, as they say in Hindi, and only by His mercy, we become steady, we become attached to Krishna, we become attached to the devotional practices, and we increase our faith, and we go forward. So by our direct experience of the results of serving Guru sincerely, then we become more and more hopeful that He's given me so much so far to help me along the path of perfection. So now He's going to go to sleep. Now He's going to fall asleep and be inattentive to my further progress. He got us up and running. He got us, he gave us some summer school courses. He prepared us to enter college. We entered college and now he took off. And now he's not going to give us any tuitions or any tutoring. He says, okay, you're in college, you're on your own now. It's not like that. In every class, in every semester, he's right there, right next to us. What are your questions? What are your dilemmas? What's the problem? Well, then the next point, the next challenge to one's faith is the disappearance of the guru. The guru's Tirobhav. Now at least I could go and ask him questions. I could see him, and just by seeing him, I would get inspired or hearing him. So now, he's apparently left me, at least my physical eyes. My physical eyes are telling me that my guru has disappeared. But my intelligence is telling me, no, guru never disappears. This is Akhanda Guru Tattva. There's never a break in the Guru Tattva. And the Guru is part of the Sat. He's Sat Guru. Sat. Sat Guru means eternal. His mercy is eternal. His presence is eternal. His teachings are eternal. So why am I thinking he's not here? I can't see him. I can't find him. That's an impasse that we've created ourselves in a relationship. It's due to some influence of ignorance or forgetfulness of who the guru actually is and what the guru actually is. And then when one reassesses a situation by deepening his knowledge of Guru Tattva and deepening his prayers and his tears crying out for the presence of the Lord, the presence of his guru, then the guru says, here I am, don't worry. You require this? Okay, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you more in the future. Hang in there. Don't give up the battle. So the guru, so therefore the sincere sadhaka, who's genuinely trying to serve as guru, then he also develops ashabandha. Although he's not a bhava bhakta, he's not on a level of bhava, but he develops firm hope that yes, my guru will provide. He'll provide everything I need. Because everything is coming through guru from Krishna. As we say, and we believe, that ashabandha means that Krishna will provide whatever I need, whatever I want. So how does he give it to us? Just like the state may be providing your necessities, and even giving you money if you're on retirement, what they call pension. It's coming from the government. But you don't go to the prime minister to get your pension check. You don't go to the Prime Minister and say, yes, I want my monthly pension check. Well, there's some department, some secretary, some person who's representing the government who delivers the money that is due to you or that you are meant to receive. He is the agent of the government. In the same way, the guru is the agent of the mercy of God. So he's the one that will, he will deliver the goods, he will deliver the necessary qualities that you need and the necessary realizations that you require and the necessary encouragement that you need to go forward and deepen your bhakti and progress on the path of prema and attain the desired result, which is the eternal loving service of Radharani and the groves of Vrindavan. This is all yasya prasada Bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati gatopi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a very nice Bengali verse to summarize this shloka from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, wherein Rupa Goswami is talking about humility as the basis of prem nam bhajan. Prem is made of the utmost humility. That's the foundation of prema. Prema manifests humility. Prema manifests humility within the actions and lives of a Vaishnava. But then at the same time, it's a very curious point. Humility is also one of the building blocks of prema. And this, and where does this begin? We begin building our house of prema with the first few blocks of the foundation, few bricks, let's say, bricks or cinder blocks, however you want to make it. The first few bricks or blocks of the foundation of the house of prema are humility. And that begins when you surrender to Guru and he starts smashing you. And the Guru may send his representative if you live in a temple, and then you get downline smashing by the temple commander on behalf of Prabhupada, and sorted or assorted, if you know English. They're more like sorted. Assorted temple commanders thoroughly bashed me into submission. And made sure that when they delivered me to Prabhupada's lotus feet, I was really humble. At least enough to get initiated. So they say that, like they have these movies, The Exterminator. Something about these murder, what, these kind of macho movies, The Exterminator, Rambo, and a big machine gun, he shoots everybody. So the temple commander, sometimes we would call him the exterminator, because we would come before the temple commander with our false ego, like big, really big, inflated, like covering every square inch of our mortal frame. And we would challenge the exterminator, say, listen. And then the exterminator would say, oh yeah, and shoot us to bits. Dasasmi. Das, 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 and a das. Hey, Prabhu, Ahambrahmasmi. I have 104 fever, I'm dying. Get up, go to Mangalartik, wash the dishes. You're not the body, you're a servant of Krishna. Jivara Swarupaya Krishna Ranyajadosh. Get up. Yes, sir. So, of course, that's when you really get the mercy. If you really know what, if you want to see whether you've gotten the mercy of Krishna, look around and see if you're under the control of a temple commander. If you're not under the subjugation of a temple commander, then you're not getting the mercy. If you have a direct line to the guru, then it's all, you know, very much reduced and smoothed out and sweetened out and made very, you know, and even then some people, they can't bear, you know, a crack or a slap from guru. They go, and they run in their hole and put their tail between their legs and go back to their mother or something. But humble we must become. By life's experience, which is a slow way of learning. Because life as a teacher is a very slow teacher, very slow. Life after life after life. The life is giving the same teaching and the jiva's not hearing it, he's not hearing it, he's not hearing it. So life teachings don't work. They say the school of hard knocks, but no one opens the door. They have an expression. They say, well, where did you go to school? You seem very wise. You seem to know about the world. He said, oh, I have a degree from the school of hard knocks. It means I got knocked around. Maya's knocked me this way and that way, and I learned how to take care of myself and cry out to God. The school of hard knocks. So that teaching comes very slow. So humility is the building block of prema. The more humility, the quicker we build our house of prema. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about premnam bhajan. Bhajan to level of sambhog prem. Ashlishiva parvatam panashtamam adarshanam mamatam karutava. Kitatata va vidudatim lampato matpananatasu seivanapara. And Radharani is saying the same thing. How much humility is being expressed in this verse? That's why he's talking about humility. The verse is about Sambhog Prema, Krishna Prema Pamartha Mahan. And that is our sadhya, our destiny is Prema, Krishna Prema, the pure loving service of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to take us to the kingdom of Prema. But the step ladder that takes us to the Krishna Prema, each step is made of humility. You climb the steps of the humility ladder and you end up in the kingdom of love from God. And what is the Premi Bhakta? Premi Bhakta has so much humility that it melts your heart. He has so much humility that it cracks your ego. He has so much humility that it enchants and captivates your mind. This is the humility of a Premi Bhakta. You can't believe it. Because all these experiences I've had, my mind cracking, my heart melting, because we met very advanced devotees and by our good fortune. And no question of offering obeisances. You go and offer obeisances, they're famous Siddhamatmas, perfected, accomplished sadhakas in the sarana bhajan. And you go to them and you offer obeisances, and then they immediately, before you can even get down, they already have their head buried in the ground at your feet. And they're staying, they're not just touching the ground with their forehead or something like this. They're bowing down and then they're getting up like this. I mean, I can't forget. I mean, it's an immovable samskara in my chitta of seeing the face and expression of pure devotees at that particular moment when they're expressing the essence of the prema that they have in their heart for Krishna by their very humble expression of offering obeisances to me. Who am a most unqualified and undeserving wretch of a living entity when compared to such exalted Siddha saints that are born in exalted Brahman, Gaudiya Vaishnava Brahman families, and they live a life of 100 years, and they completely nashtik brahmacharis, and it's just an overwhelming experience to see the face, and I can't forget that offer vase, and they would come up, you see, looking at like this, you know, so lovingly. Unforgettable. So this is humility, is the basis of prema. And we can understand that we're actually making tangible progress towards Krishna prema, or pure love of God, when four qualities manifest in our mind, hearts, and lives. And those four qualities that's only halfway to the goal. These four qualities will manifest in our life only at the 50% mark. When we're halfway there, these four qualities will manifest. And we have to examine ourselves honestly and we'll say, wait a minute, hey, hello. These four qualities haven't manifested in me. So I'm not even halfway there after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 5 lifetimes. Forget about years, let's talk about lifetimes, Jack. Years, that's a spot, one spot of a life of 50 years, 60 years, 80 years. Let's talk about lifetimes. Karma chakra, life after life after life, janam, janam, janam maran, janam maran, jivana marana, yoki chamora. So these four qualities, they come when one rises to the level of faith and to the level of humility, he comes to the platform of nishtha. Nishtha, nishtha and bhakti. After nishtha comes ruchi, nam ruchi, Kata ruchi, nam ruchi, dam ruchi, Vaishnava seva ruchi. And then comes asakti, firm attachment for Krishna, the person, the name and form of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, asakti. Then comes bhav, an emotional experience of Krishna, a heartfelt emotional experience that arises from the soul and not from the mind or the sense impressions. It's not some tears produced by some music or tears produced by some melodrama passing across our eyes from the movie screen. These are genuine alokic feelings, alokic or sattvic bhavas arising from the heart of the actual soul, which are manifested in the body at the level of bhava. So it's an emotional experience of God, not a sentimentalist, oh, I love God. Next minute you smoke 5 cigarettes and you sleep all day and eat any damn thing and never talk about God and have no faith in God and you have faith in money. Anyone can make a false show of tears and other dramatic exhibitions. So as for that emotional, ecstatic experience of God, which is generated from genuine transcendental sentiments, then one comes to the level of Krishna Prema. So here we are talking about Nishta, and what are the four qualities of Nishta, and how that's only the 50%. You've only made it 50%. As you know, if you've been in college, if you're in the 50% category, what does that mean? Means you failed. You're out. It means you didn't make it. You haven't, you flunk, you're booted out. You have to become at least 70% or something like that. So those four qualities, the verse that supports the principle of humility as a basis of prema, the verse that explains these four qualities that manifest at the 50% advancement up to perfection category is given in the Shikshastakam, verse number 3. Chaitanya Mahavru, Trinad api sunichena tarori vasa hishnuna amanina manadena. These are the four qualities of a dainya bhakta, of a humble devotee. Someone who has these four qualities, he's made it. He's 50% there. Not bad. What are those four qualities? He's more tolerant than a tree. More, what is it? How's it go? More humble than a blade of grass. Trinadapi. A trina means blade of grass. He's more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. He's ready to offer all respect, love and service to everyone. Love everyone, respect all, everyone, serve everyone. This is the meaning of a manina. Not like, oh, you're my family, I serve you. You're not my family, I don't serve you. Oh, you're a human being, I serve you. You're animal, I don't serve you. Animal's my food. Humans are my friends. So this is amani, armani, and then amani. I need nothing. I don't need any recognition, worship, puja, love, pratishtha, anything. I don't want it. Run from such a thing. Interest and adoration. Oh, do you know so-and-so, he gave a big donation to the Rotary Club. Oh yes, I want to put my name, I still want to see my name in the yearly magazine of Rotary. I want to see my name on the plaque at the temple for being a big donor. Yes, yes, I need this pratishtha. Pratishtasha. Pratishtasha, it says in Manashiksha, pratishtasha, the asha, the desire. The desire for pratishtha, recognition, or name, or fame. To excel, number one, Olympic, I want the Olympic gold medal. India should be number one, the number one soccer team. My business should be number one firm. I should be recognized by the business association of Gurgaon. The best, you know, mudha in Gurgaon. Yeah, number one mudha in Gurgaon. He did this doctor and his wife, they did the most humanitarian work for West Punjabi Bagh. Yes, they got a gold medal. This is all. Raghunath Das Goswami says the pratishtasha, the desire for pratishtha, is like wanting to take a bath in the urine of a donkey. Donkey mutra. Gada, we say, gada mutra. Gada mutra snan. Chahiye. I want to bathe in the pee of a donkey. To make it, let's say even make it more American. I want to bathe in an ass's pee. Now that's a very admirable ambition. You should really try for that. Save a lot of money and build a big hospital and put your name on it. Joe Gupta's Memorial Hospital. And put your picture in the lobby so all the pigeons can poop on it. Not the pigeons, but at least the lizards. Lizards will run across the wall and poop on it. So this is not exactly Amani Dana. Amanina Manadena. Amanina. Manadena. So this is the humility, and this is this whole particular instruction on Nam Bhajan is about developing that quality as the foundation of prema. Prema is the house of humility, and humility is the building blocks of the house. Very interesting. The house of prema is made of the building blocks of humility, and the house of prema is the abode of humility. If your body is a house, if your mind and heart and body are a house or domicile or residence or vasa or bhavan of prema, then who lives in that house? Mr. Humility or Mrs. Humility. Well, how do we know? We know by their expression. We know by their speaking. We know by their actions. We know by their dealings. Yes. This is a Dainya Sadaka. Dainya Sadaka. He's a genuine, he's a Nishchita Bhakta. Because after that, then it becomes a little bit difficult to understand. Ruchi, Bhava, Asakti, Prema, these things, a little bit hazy. Ruchi, not so difficult to understand who has Ruchi. But then when it comes to Asakti and Bhava and Prema, they're all so close together. It's just like, they go very, they're all so very closely related. Very difficult to discern. But it's easy to know where we are and where we're not. Yes? Yes. Bhaktivinoda Thakura gives this nice Bengali explanation of this Sanskrit shloka from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Shravanadi bhakti prema bhakti yoga hina gyan yoga karma hina sajanma vihina kangalera natta tumi rada pranadan tomara pade dridha ashaya vyakulita man. I, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, am without devotional practice. I am without the discipline that leads to prema bhakti. I have neither knowledge nor self-discipline. I don't have any good works or noble pedigree, which means birth. High birth. Oh, yet treasure of Radharani's life. This is a name for Krishna. Radha Pranadhan. And we say, Hamaro Dana Radha Shri, Hamaro Dana Radha Shri, Radha Shri Radha. My wealth is Radha. I think so, is it right? Hamaro Dana means my wealth. My treasure is Radha. My wealth is Radha. And what does Krishna say? Radha, Radha, Dana, Amara, Dana, Radha, Shira. So Krishna's wealth, Krishna's treasure is Radha. Radha Pranadhan. Radha Pranadhan. The Radharani, all Krishna's saying. So he's saying, oh treasure of Radharani's life, you are the protector of the poor. Kangal Nath. You're the Lord of the poor, Kangal. Kangal Nath Tumi. And so I maintain firm hope in your lotus feet. Even though this hope disturbs my mind. Vyakulita man. Vyakula. I think it's the same in Hindi. Maybe. Vismita or whatever it is. Vyakula. Vyakulita. Vyakulita man. This hope is disturbing my mind. Why? I have this great hope. Okay, that should make your mind peaceful. Like I saw that my older brother, when he grew up, my father gave him $10 million and he gave him this and that, and I'm a little boy. So I have hope that when I grow up, like my brother, I'll also get $10 million. That's a hope based on logic. It's a hope based on observation. It's a hope based on experience. But still, we may be a little bit vyakul, because we may think, yeah, I have this hope, but maybe I do something and I don't get that $10 million. Or maybe my father goes broke and he spends all the money, or the business closes, and then so my mind is disturbed. So now a devotee, he has his ashabhanda. This is, of course, a symptom of bhav. At the level of bhav, it's oceanic. The depth of this ashabhanda, this hope, is so deep. And you can see when Bhava Bhaktas meet the Sadhana Bhaktas, what's transferred is the hope. It's a transfer of hope by contact. Because when we meet the Bhava Bhaktas, then we get hope. We get renewed hope, encouragement. We get inducement to go further. But even in the beginning stage of sadhana, we have some hope, yes. I saw this, oh, my friend, he joined, or this one joined, he became so fixed up, he became so steady, so that I have some hope. But then I'm also a little bit vyakul. This hope that I have in relation to Krishna delivering the goods or providing what I need and preserving what I have, this hope also, I'm a little disturbed by it because maybe Krishna doesn't give me the mercy, and maybe I won't make it. So when that, and Krishna creates that mental disturbance, because from Krishna comes everything. Every quality comes from Krishna. Every attribute. So then Krishna creates this disturbance. And what is the purpose of that disturbance? To make us more humble. We have this ashabandha, this firm hope that Krishna will reciprocate, that Guru will bless us, that Krishna will bless us as we progress. But then, as our acharyas say, that hope is mixed with some vyakula, with some anxiousness. I'm a little anxious. I'm a little anxious. Vyata in Sanskrit is vyata. Vyata. A little anxious. A little, because, well, Krishna's an autocrat. Krishna's a transcendent autocrat. It's not that, listen, Krishna, I surrendered. I have hope. You're helping me. And I have renewed hope that you will help me more in the future. That you'll reveal what I need in the future. But you're a very tricky fellow. It's not a contract. It's not a guaranteed result. You can, because it's free. Love is not bound by any rules or contract or regulations. You scratch my back, then I'm bound by the contract to scratch your back. Krishna may, I have hope. Yes, Krishna, surely he has helped so many sadhakas and practitioners before. Certainly he'll help me. But then my mind is also anxious. Well, am I really sincere enough to qualify for Krishna's hand on my head? Am I really that dedicated? Or will Krishna actually find out that I'm fake? So far I fooled him. So far I fooled Krishna that he thinks I'm really genuine. He thinks I'm really sincere and true to my purpose. But actually, you know, I faked him out. Will he discover me? That I'm Pondraka in disguise, or that I'm Shankachuta, or any number of imposters? And then what's this? You led me along. I was giving you so much mercy, and now I found out you're a kapat, you're a cheater. Out. No. Now my hope will be broken because he won't carry what I lack and preserve what I have. Or we may still be very sincere and very genuine and have great hope. But then still, this is Krishna's nature. He's a free agent. Because he acts, God is, what is the definition of God? One Western philosopher said the definition of God is that person who acts for himself, by himself, and of himself. Everything that God does is for himself. By himself. He's Swatantra. Independent. He doesn't need us, or anyone, or anything. Everything he does is by himself, for himself, and of himself. We need God. God doesn't need us. So we're in a dependent position. And this Krishna, we happen to choose a very unpredictable God. We chose as our Ishta, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's very unpredictable. Other forms of the Lord, they're almost like ATM machines. You plug in some number and you press some button and then it works and you get your money. So this is this forms of God like Vishnu and Ram and other Vibhuti Bhagavans, these wealthy Bhagavans, they pretty much, you do this and this and this, and they deliver the goods. They reciprocate in kind. You can cut business with them. You can do business. These are business gods. The gods of the material world and the Super Soul and Mahavishnu and the overseers of the material world and the lawgivers. But Krishna is a god of love. And Krishna's love moves like the, it acts like the movements of a snake. A snake doesn't go in a straight line. A snake goes like this. Sometimes it goes wherever they go. We're talking about Krishna, the transcendental autocrat, and he's free to do whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants, with whomever he wants, and in his own conditions and terms. And we can't predict it. He's unpredictable. He's Swatantra. That means Swatantra means you can't predict. Because he's not in the modes of nature. Anyone who's controlled by the modes of nature, it's very predictable what they're going to do in any given circumstance. It's a science. They're just like a robot. Okay, he's in Tamagun. He's going to take intoxication. He's going to sleep a lot. He's going to use speak harshly. He's going to get in fights. And then you write down their game plan. Then you watch the guy. Oh, yeah, Friday got in a fight. Tuesday, it's Tamagun. So everybody in the material world, the material body, they're just combinations of the modes of nature. And the more precise knowledge you have of the Trigunamayi Tattva, then you can very analytically understand the movements and actions of any human being or entity in this world. It's just a matter of acquiring the proper knowledge and applying it. It's like a science. You acquire medical knowledge, then you apply it, and you see how it works. So this is, you can say, psychic knowledge. The psychic knowledge and the basic knowledge of this world, the workings of the mind, the workings of the mind, interfacing with the material body and the material energy and the elements of the material world. You know, this is sattvic person. This person is sattvic rajasic. This person is sattvic rajasic and a portion of ignorance. This knowledge comes from guru and shastra. It's not a big accomplishment. If you're some grammar school student in the village, you meet someone who says, "I have a PhD." Wow, PhD. You're really smart. Yes, I have a PhD in computer engineering, neurophysiology. And the kid says, "Wow, yeah, what is that? What's physiology? What's neuro?" And so it all sounds so exalted and untouchable. So Krishna, this independent action and feelings of Krishna, as I said, love moves like a snake, it's like this. So we're a little bit anxious. We have hope in Krishna, very ashabanda, and our hope increases more and more as our love increases. But we're also anxious that maybe he'll overlook me, he'll forget me, and the mercy will fall on someone else but not me. So why does that feeling arise in our heart? A certain sense of insecurity, a certain sense of doubt, even when we're dealing with God, who is the absolute shelter and the security, ultimate security giver for everyone. If you can't find security in God, if you can't find, you know, security and protection in God, then who can you find security? Because he's not of this world of birth and death. He's not transient. He's not temporary. But he plays like this with his sadaka to reserve the right. We say all rights reserved. He reserves the right of independence and unpredictability in his interactions and exchanges with his devotee to keep him humble and make him more and more humble, which increases more and more his hope and increases his surrender. This is his love. So as we continue to try to unravel and our relationship with God on an individual basis, and how he's dancing in our hearts individually, and how he's playing hide and seek with us, and how he's trampling us under his feet, and how he's crushing us by his loving embrace. What Radharani is explaining in Shikshastra, verse number 8, Ashlishyava parvatam panashtramam adarshanam marma hatam karotiva yata tata va vidadatu lampato madparanatasu tu sevanaparaha. This is happening at the highest level of Sambhog Prem, Mahabhav. It's also happening with a new devotee, initiated, someone who's initiated in Guru Parampara, who's connected to Krishna's family, Achyuta Gotra. He's also experiencing being trampled under Krishna's feet. Maybe that's all we're experiencing. Hey, stop stepping on me, Krishna. Your feet are too big. My heart is too small. I can't bear it. Or we may be saying, Krishna, oh, my ribs, oh, You're too powerful. You're crushing my ribs by your loving him, your bear hug. Krishna can give us a bear hug, or he can stomp us with his motorcycle boots. So Krishna may break my ribs with his loving bear hug, or stomp me under, or crack my heart with his stomp me with his motorcycle boots. But I don't care. Naparaha. I have no other. He's my Matprananath. Matprananath. He is the Lord of my Panchapran, my life heirs. If he withdraws, if the with life heirs are withdrawn, you're Katam Hoyo. Goodbye, good night. Arrivederci. You're finished. No more. So that this Lord of my, he's controlling my life heirs. So this, we'll continue with this purport tomorrow.